You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts, the Saturday edition. And you're in for a treat this hour. It's Nick Foles and Case Keenum talk. We're going to do this for until you guys are tired of it. It's not what everybody had anticipated or maybe rooted for, but we do have the teams that were the two best teams throughout over the course of the year in the Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings facing off in the NFC. Eagles squeaking one out against the Atlanta Falcons, and they get to host this one against the Vikings where, I mean, you want to talk about squeaking it out. They did it in a historic fashion against the Saints last week. So it's Keenum versus Foles. Keenum has played, obviously, a lot better. He's played really good football here down the stretch, Scott, and you have to give them the check mark, at least at the quarterback position, to start this conversation.
Tony Sincotta will say, you know, after watching the game, that he doesn't think Keenum was all that impressive. But, you know, last week he said, you know, he threw for 318 yards and a touchdown. He made the game-winning throw. Look, you know, he's not an elite quarterback, but, you know, I was the biggest Keenum, critic during the season. I said he was going to melt during the playoffs. I really doubted it. I thought this was a journeyman guy, you know, overachieving, but, you know, and he still has his moments, like that late interception last week when he makes you shake his head. But look, he's better than Nick Foles. I think he can. He has a gunslinger mentality. That's what it is. And yeah, when you have a gunslinger mentality, you're going to make good plays and you're going to make bad plays. With Nick Foles, I just feel like, okay, you know, Foles, you're looking at, you know, he could have an 100-plus quarterback rating in his third consecutive playoff game, which could put him in rare company, but I just don't think he's as capable of being a playmaker as Case Keenum is.
Before that final throw, Corey, Keenum was 24 of 39 for 257, no scores and an interception, but the 61-yard touchdown makes it look a lot better for Keenum last week. That being said, as I mentioned earlier, he still gets the check mark over Foles, correct?
No, he's going to get the check mark over Nick Foles. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback. Case Keenum, you know, is an NFL starter at this point, and I think he'll remain one somewhere next season also. I think you give Keenum the advantage at quarterback over Foles, obviously. But this right here is about running the football effectively, not turning the football over and playing rock-solid defense. That's how Minnesota's going to win this game, not on the arm of Case Keenum.
We'll focus on this game in the next segments, but to go back to what Corey said about Keenum, Scott, do you think Keenum can actually be here next year on a one-year deal?
I think so, because it's very, very difficult in the NFL to find a winning chemistry. And the Vikings have found that. Why break it up? They found everything that works together, and they're in the NFC title game. You don't want to mess with that kind of momentum, win or lose this game.
Yeah, all three quarterbacks on that roster, him, Bradford, and Bridgewater, are free agents. Zimmer has not announced yet who the backup will be. It was Sam Bradford last week. I'd expect it to be the same way. But it's Keenum and Foles to talk about this game and all aspects of it next on the Roto Experts Saturday edition. Come join us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With the king.
Yes, we are, Mike. Yeah.
Scott,
king.
I'm down with the king. So, talking about Eagles, Vikings, just looking at some numbers.
Since the league merger in 1970, the Vikings have qualified for the playoffs 27 times. They made four Super Bowls, but haven't been back since Super Bowl 11. And they've lost their last five NFC Championship games. This is the first time they've been back to the NFC Championship game since 2009. It's the Eagles' first appearance in 2008. What's interesting about this is that these are two.
Who they playing on nine? What they playing on nine?
It's the one that Brett Favre threw away to the Saints.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. The Brett Favre.
They had that game one.
When the Saints tried to kill Brett Favre. That's the bounty,
oh, yeah,
the bounty game.
Bounty gate.
Yeah, that's a bounty gate. Yeah.
Yeah.
The game was won. The Vikings had a shot at a game-winning field goal, and Favre threw a Brett Favre kind of pass.
Yeah.
He threw a super risky, needless pass back across the middle, and it got picked off by Jonathan Vilma.
That's what could happen with Case Keenum.
Almost as bad as Brett Favre's 4th-and-29 pass. Almost as bad as that. Almost bad as Brett Favre's turnover from the 4th-and-29 game.
Which one? What are you talking about?
The 4th-and-29 game. The Eagles and the
when Donovan McNabb made that pass.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. The Freddie Mitchell. Yeah.
The Freddie Mitchell catch on 4th-and-29. Yeah. But that same game, Brett Favre threw a nasty interception. It looked like a punt. That's how bad the ball was thrown.
He did that a lot in his career. I know respect. He's in the Hall of Fame, and he's got tons of numbers and all that kind of stuff, but he wouldn't make my top 10. So this, I digress.
Well, look, there were a lot of bad Brett Favre did. He did a ton of good, and he won a Super Bowl, wanted to get him to two. You know, you're not talking about the Vikings years as illustrative of, who he was. You know, he had a lot of great moments and a lot of great games, but there were a lot of mistakes too. He had when we talk about the gunslinger mentality, but I think he's earned a spot in the Hall of Fame.
I'd say that's fair. That he's a Hall of Famer. I would not argue him out of the Hall of Fame. So it's the Eagles' first time since 2008. I was trying to get to the point where both of these are long-suffering franchises. The Vikings have had tons of playoff appearances, but really excruciating losses. We just detailed one. The Eagles have not been as historically, say, successful as the Vikings as far as playoff appearances, but doesn't really matter. I mean, neither of them have a Super Bowl victory. The Eagles haven't won an NFL championship since 1960.
Ever.
So it's been a really, really long time since that has happened. So here we are. Chuck Bednarik was on the team the last time they won.
Yeah.
So here we are. Somebody's going to get there and have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. So we'll get started. We talked a little bit about the quarterback matchups, and I guess the next way to go is the Eagles were able to grind out some big runs last week, Scott, against the Falcons. We're able to churn some clock. We're able to pick up yardage on the ground and dominate up front. They really did it on both sides of the ball, or at least play well up front. I don't want to say dominate because they were within inches of losing that game. But that being said, what do you expect to see from this offense? You're down on Foles, so what can they do to try to improve upon their 16-point performance last week?
I don't know. This is a very tough defense for them to face. They have a running back by committee. I think, Corey Clement might be an X factor for them.
Corey, thoughts about their ability to possibly grind out some rushing yards this year against a really tough defense?
No, this is going to be very difficult for them to do. This is what they want to do, but this right here is going to be, in the trenches where the battle is run. When you look at that, Philadelphia's offensive line going up against the Minnesota Vikings D-line, I would give the Vikings D-line the advantage in this one. But maybe you see some more short passes to kind of help accentuate the run game a little bit. But it's going to be very tough. But if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, I lay back there and I try to hammer it with Jay Ajayi.
So, for Vikings defense, first in scoring defense, first in yardage, second in rushing yardage, fifth in yards per attempt against. So, they limited that quite well. I'm with you guys. I'm having a hard time seeing how they'll be able to score points. Can they do it with Zach Ertz, who's really their best, in my estimation, their best offensive weapon? Can they get something done over the middle there? If Sendejo, we have to assume him right now. I don't know if he's yet to clear concussion protocol, but if he was out, it would open things up in the middle for somebody like Ertz. Maybe it opens things up in the middle if he's limited in any capacity. But I want to think that Zach Ertz is really just that number one weapon there, and they're going to have to get back to using him as much as they can. Correct, Scott?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, yes.
So on the other side of the ball, Corey, we talked about Keenum's gunslinger mentality. We had Latavius Murray. I'm just trying to look at his numbers from last
week.
Exactly. Yeah. His numbers last week, he carried the ball. He touched the ball 21 times last week for a total of 67 yards. He does get the touchdown. So from a fantasy standpoint, if you'd used him in any kind of DFS capacity, he delivered as much as he could with that end zone, with him getting into the end zone. Jerick McKinnon touched the ball 11 times last week. Are they going to try and grind it out here? Keenum ended up throwing the ball 40 times. It was a wild end of the game. Both he and Breeze threw the ball 40 times exactly. It was a wild end of the game, obviously, with them trying to move the ball down the field and did so on a miraculous play. But do they try to grind it out here against a defense that is almost as stout and has Fletcher Cox in the middle just being a wrecking ball?
Hey, great call last week by Davenport. He said that that the Saints would have a hard time dealing with Brandon Graham, and they certainly did. When you look back when you look ahead to this week, what I think is going to happen as far as Minnesota, obviously they want to be able to throw the football. They want to be able to run the football, but I think that they can feel as if they're going to be able to get some looks on this secondary. Stephen healthy in that slot. Obviously, Stephon Diggs still coming in here on cloud nine. Kyle Rudolph health still up in the air. But I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to look to throw the football on this team, get that pass rush done, try to set up some play action with those two running backs. And I think McKinnon makes some nice plays out the backfield also. But I'd be looking for a Case Keenum to have to put the ball in the air. At least I think that's how they want to game plan it. That's what I would look at.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Thielen having a little bit of a back issue where he's limited, but he did have 9 targets last week, 6 catches, 74 yards. We know about Diggs's tremendous play. He's 6 for 137 and a touchdown, the 61-yard touchdown to end it. We don't have to get
the
into
the Minneapolis Miracle.
Yeah. They've filed for trademarks for Minnesota Miracle and Minneapolis Miracle for those interested in the business side of that. So I'm sure they'll get it and start stamping out T-shirts if they're able to get past this game, or maybe even if they're not, because to anybody that was there, they're going to want to own a piece of that. We don't have to spend a ton of time on it. I do feel bad, though, of the position Marcus Williams is in. The only thing that makes any sense to me after having watched it, however many times I watched it, is that he thought he was early and was going to get flagged for pass interference. So that's why he kind of ducked out of the way. Would you say that's the only reasonable explanation you could come up with?
I think, well, first of all, if you look at it, it's when you tackling is head head up, butt down. He came in head down, butt up. So first and foremost, it was poor form on that play. What I think he was trying to do was keep Stephon Diggs in bound. I think he was going to try to make the play to keep Diggs in bound, and he whiffed on it and missed, and he missed terribly. But if he would have, you know, the right play in that spot is to keep the player in bounds.
All he had to do was catch him.
All he had to do was stand there and catch him.
You know what I mean? Like, just catch Diggs as he came to the ground. That's it.
And the game is over right there. But he looks like he tried to keep him in bounds. He lost sight of what he was doing. I feel terrible for him, but I also feel great for the Minnesota Vikings fans because they've suffered for a very long time.
So, Scotty, give me a star in this game. We walked through some options here. I'm trying to think if it's going to be Zach Ertz or not, or, you know, it's got to be one of these Minnesota wide receivers. Somebody's got to have a breakout game of some sort, even if you think it's going to be low scoring, as Vegas would suggest. Give me a fantasy star in this one that's not a quarterback.
It's really hard, but you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say Corey Clement scores at least once, maybe twice.
Interesting. So you like them using him as an X factor to Corey. Yeah. Who do you like?
But one of these two franchises will continue to suffer, at least for the next 3 weeks. And overall, both of them will continue to suffer, maybe.
Oh, if I was looking
I don't disagree.
If I'm looking for a fantasy star on this one, I'm going to go Jerick McKinnon. I think Jerick McKinnon can be a difference maker for fantasy guys this week, and I think McKinnon can also help send the Minnesota Vikings to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with I'm always a fan of Diggs. I always think he can make the kind of – I mean, I never expected he would make that kind of play, but I always expect him to make plays of that type and how explosive he is. But I'm going to go with Thielen. I'm going to go with Mr. Reliable. The weather's probably going to be chilly, and the most reliable hands on that team to lie with Adam Thielen. Back injury or not, I think he's the guy that you want. You know, you're probably going to pick Gronkowski at tight end in your DFS lineups. I think Thielen's your wide receiver you want to look towards. We'll come back, talk more about this game after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're wrapping up Eagles-Vikings with some predictions here. And we're going to go to Scott Engel first. We have a 39 over-under. The road Minnesota Vikings are the favorites. It's a three-point favorite at Philly. And the line hasn't moved much. It's moved a half a point towards Philly, with the money being on Philly. And the total has remained about the same as well. So, Scott, I think you're expecting a low-scoring game here. So what do you have here?
I am going to say Minnesota 17, Philadelphia 15.
Two close games. What's so funny?
How did he get to 15, Scott?
Five field goals.
No. Oh, okay, five field goals.
Seven points, two field goals, maybe in a safety. It's going to end up uneven because they'll, like, miss a conversion or something like that, you know?
Okay.
I can see that.
I got you. All right, I'm cool with it. I just wanted to know how he got to 15.
He hits three field goals.
I'm going to say 6 points. 6 points, miss an extra point or a conversion, and three field goals.
I got it. I'm going to be looking for this mixed extra point.
Just make your prediction.
I'm going to go 20-16. Give me the Minnesota Vikings to cover the spread in this one. Going to Philadelphia and get the victory. I think Foles and crew come up a little bit short once again for Philadelphia.
I like that score a lot. That's kind of where I was leaning. I think I'll do I'll actually go lower scoring than that. I'm going to go 17-13 Vikes. And I do have them on the cover as well, but a little bit more low scoring than that. So we all have it pretty close. So look at that. No differentiation. Three New England wins, three Minnesota wins. I'm the only one that has the Pats covering, and Scott does not have Minnesota covering. So he's going to thread the needle there with Philly covering, but losing anyway. You know, I was looking at the DFS ramifications. I'm just on DraftKings right now. Deion Lewis is the most expensive player on DraftKings for this weekend at 8,100.
Wow.
So keep in mind, it will be difficult to have him in your lineup. Gronk is second at 7,900, Brady third at 7,700. So as you're going through it, it is going to be difficult. I mean, Pats, Patriots Patriot stack is not going to be likely for you. You can do a mini stack, obviously, but you're not going to load up on Patriots. It'd be too expensive. You won't be able to fit in your lineup. I'm playing around with some stuff now. Adam Thielen at 7,400. You know, if you're trying to use him and Gronk, as I suggested earlier, be tough. I could see two tight ends being used in this instance too, because Zach Ertz is all the way down at 5,300. So I could see you using maybe two tight ends.
Hey, Mike, what's y'all loading price? What's y'all loading price, Mike?
Get it for you right now. $4,200.
It can be a nice piece of flex in your lineup. Yeah,
Yeah, I could do James White and T.J. Yeldon at running back. James White at 4,900, T.J. Yeldon at 4,200. Saves me some money.
I like White at 4,900.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the guy's got a real knack for the postseason.
Yeah, he would be in there. How about like a Jaguars wide receiver if you wanted to go that route? Who would the guy be?
I would guess you'd have to go with Keelan Cole.
Keelan Cole, 3,500. Marquise Lee, 4,400. They're all less expensive than Amendola and Hogan and
I'd probably go with Lee.
Yeah, you just want
anybody
you need
can
the
show
targets
up there,
to,
though.
Yeah, you need the targets to pay off, though, right? Like, I'm just saying, like, I'd rather him at 4,400 than Cole at 3,500, assuming you can fit it.
You know, it's going to be tougher to play that. I'm sorry, to play that new game that they have where it's just based on one game each. That's going to be even tougher.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. What defense do you like the most this weekend? Vikings?
Minnesota Vikings.
They're only 3,800 on DraftKings. But the Jaguars for 2,800 be interesting because they're going to get some hits. They're going to get some sacks. So I'm okay with saving $1,000 there.
I'm just playing around with stuff right now. It's a really funky lineup. I got too many Jaguars, but here's what it could be. I got a bunch of money left over. Tom Brady, James White, T.J. Yeldon, Adam Thielen, Marquise Lee, Keelan Cole, Gronk, Ertz, and the Vikings D. How about that?
Interesting.
Not bad, right?
No, it's not bad. I need
a payoff in the running back position. Yeah, I need a payoff in the running back position. Using White and Yeldon is you can't say that that's a high-risk running back tandem, but just need a couple of touchdowns for that to pay off.
That's all you need, really. If you can get a touchdown out of one, a couple of receptions, maybe 50 yards or so. So I think one of those guys, maybe even both of those guys, get in the end zone. They do use T.J. Yeldon.
True. So, all right. I'm going to bring in Pete Considori, our producer. I work with him each and every weekend day on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and he's got a show coming up later this afternoon with Chris Bavona and Kevin Walsh called The Producers from 2 to 4. Eastern time today. Pete, what are you guys talking about? You going to review another 25-year-old movie or what?
Not 25-year-old. On our Fantasy Producers Movie Club this week, we have Sharknado, made in 2013. It's a little bit more current. Terrible movie. But we're going to be talking about that later. We're going to be ranking pasta, so definitely tune in for that. And then, of course, we're going to be talking about everything in the NFL, and I want to talk about the hit that Dustin Brown gave Justin Schultz the other night in the NHL. So that should be an interesting conversation.
So everybody knows that one. Yeah, that's big news, the Brown-Schultz hit. It's good stuff. So tell me, on the pasta front, are you ranking, like, shapes? What's your favorite shape? Is that how that goes?
No, we're gonna go with what pasta. So do you like penne? Do you like tortellini? Do you like ravioli? Stuff like that. So that's how we're going to go.
How about penne and bow ties? Yeah.
Scott, have you seen Sharknado?
No, but I do have a DraftKings lineup.
All right, so we'll get to the DraftKings lineup in a second. why is every time that Pete is on, you're like 180ing the conversation? I'm trying to help the guy promote the show.
Because I haven't seen Sharknado.
So I don't know nothing about this hockey hit. Neither do I.
Hey, I already said I like penne and bow ties. What else do you want from me?
Corey, I've never seen
Sharknado, but what I will say is I'm looking forward to catching the producers on demand. I won't be able to catch it live. They do a great job. See, that's what you have to say, Scott.
Yeah, so it'll be Pete Considori, Chris Bavona, and Kevin Walsh, producers from 2 to 4. Thank you, Pete, and good luck with the Sharknado review. I haven't seen it either, so I'll have to listen to your guys' advice in order to figure out if I should actually watch it.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Hey, wait 1 second. Well, wait 1 second there, Pete.
Yeah.
I want you guys to review one movie because I saw it on Netflix. Nobody ever saw it. I think it was like straight to Netflix. The Cobbler with Adam Sandler.
The Cobbler. All right, I'll have to put that
straight to Netflix, and it was actually good.
All right, thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we'll line up. All right, Scotty, give me your DraftKings lineup.
Okay, Case Keenum 6,600, Leonard Fournette 7,200, Corey Clement 3,100, Stephon Diggs 6,900, Keelan Cole 3,500, Chris Hogan 5,000. Ertz 5,300, Gronk 7,900, Vikings 3,800, and I still got 700 on the table.
Yeah, I think
outside of Clement, I like it.
I think yours is better than mine. I got to figure something out. I got to move some, money around here somewhere.
But Mike, the games don't start till 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Mike. So
I got some time. I got some time. I think I'll be all right. The contest goes live in 27 hours, so I think we're gonna be good. Just trying to give people a sense of what's going on. I think a lot of people that maybe haven't checked in wouldn't realize that Deion Lewis is the highest priced player.
That is interesting, right there. Good stuff.
It makes sense to me because he's the only guy you can kind of bank on for touches, but I also don't want to use him because of the things that we've talked about all morning and other guys potentially getting touches there, James White and Rex Burkhead and the like. So I probably wouldn't use Deion Lewis in this instance. So there you go. Like we said, clean sweep for the Patriots, clean sweep for the Vikings. We are going to talk a little bit about some mock draft stuff coming up here in the next segment. And as we head towards the top of the hour when the weekend fantasy update takes over with Galena, Stanfill, and Florio, the award-nominated Mike Florio. And this show is award-nominated as well as I continue to pat us on the back. But the first mock draft that came out for Mel Kiper, Corey, has Josh Allen from Wyoming going to the Browns at number one. Did that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. It's basically what you see all the time with these big prototypical type quarterbacks going to, you know, as the top two picks. We got two guys at the top this year, Allen and Rosen. Me, myself, personally, I wouldn't touch one of these quarterbacks. I'm going in a different direction. I'm going Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson as the top two quarterbacks to go. I don't like these quarterbacks right here. I don't know as much about the Allen kid, but I do know what's the other guy's name?
Rosen,
no,
Darnold.
Darnold is not – I'm not impressed by Darnold at all.
He had a tough year. Allen had a tough year, too. Scott, the thing that worries me the most is Josh Allen's completion percentage is 56%. The only other guys that were drafted high that had numbers like that, Kiper said him last night, was Josh McCown was the only player starting in the NFL at the end of the year that had a completion percentage in that range in college. And you'd have to go back to a guy that's drafted high with two guys that had lower completion percentage than that in college that were drafted in the first round were Kyle Bowler at 48% and Jake Locker at 54%.
Kyle Toilet Bowler.
Jake, shove him in a locker.
So really not a good success rate for those guys. We'll come back, get your take on it. And we'll talk a little bit more about the rest of those mock drafts after this. It's Mike, Corey, and Scott on the Roto Experts back after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's championship weekend. We've gone through the Pats, Jags. We've gone through Vikes, Eagles. We got clean sweeps for the Patriots, clean sweep for the Vikings. I thought the Eagles were going to lose last week. Scott had the right call on that one. We all got the Steelers game wrong. I think Scott, did you have the Scott, you and I had the Saints, or I can't remember who you had from a prediction standpoint.
I remember
you had the Vikings. You had the Saints. I think we clean sweep, so we all missed on the Saints. And the Patriots.
Me and you missed on the Falcons.
Yes, and the Patriots, we all had the Pats winning. I think I was the only one that had the Pats covering, though. Is that right? Yeah, it was a big spread. So in any event, they walked over the Titans last week, as expected. But generally, I did not do well. I mean, I picked three games wrong. I had three. I mean, two of them came down to the final play, and nobody can wave their prognosticating pom-poms on the Vikings-Saints game, no matter who you picked, because that is a wild ending that just was absurd in a lot of different ways. But it is what it is. To the victor go the spoils, as we said.
How about them not kicking the point after, and more or less everybody who had the Vikings covering missed out because they didn't kick the point after?
Don't cry about it. Shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. And don't gamble if you don't like bad beats. It's a bad beat, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that.
I think the Vikings did the right thing. You know, what's the point of that? You know, they just had it's sort of ridiculous that they have to do it, but I understand why they have to do it. So you can't complain. You're really lucky for that it was even close, as we detailed the final play there. So is what it is. We got I'm the only one that has the Pats covering, and Corey and I both have the Vikings covering. Scott likes both underdogs to cover, so there you go, but lose. And so we'll see what we'll see how that goes. We'll see.
Oh,
you like the dogs. So good stuff. Good stuff there, Scott. So Corey, we talked about Josh Allen. Tons of, you know, as you said, he's prototypical. I mentioned some stats that might not have you feeling too confident. He's huge, 6'5 guy, can run a little bit. He is the same head coach at Wyoming as Carson Wentz had at North Dakota State. So there's that whole narrative, to use an overused word. But then we go to the Giants. We're all here in New York. Corey, you're a Cowboys fan.
I'm
sure you love the Giants, love talking about them. But their jersey. So the New York football Giants, Mel Kiper has Josh Rosen, the quarterback from UCLA, listed. What I have been thinking about is I wonder if they just keep it together with Eli for one more year and either trade out of this pick or go a different route, go pass rusher or offensive line. Or some people have speculated the running back, Saquon Barkley, goes there from Penn State. I think that would be an absurd amount of money for a team that needs more tweaking to dedicate to a rookie running back. That's my thought. But let me go to you first, Corey. What you get a sense of where you think the Giants are going to go, or you think that this pick is up for sale?
I think this pick could possibly be up for sale because of the fact that I think the Giants would like to stockpile some picks and start to rebuild the interior. That's how Gettleman likes to build. He likes to build his teams inside out, meaning, you know, you get stout in the trenches first. So obviously they need work on that O-line. They need work on that D-line too, and in that linebacker core. So I could see them going there. I think when you go running back early, I think that's a team that's on that's like, okay, we can take the next step. If we have this guy, I think that team's the Indianapolis Colts, especially if they get a healthy Andrew Luck, which Josh McDaniels, you put Barkley in that position, then I think you see a team that can compete for a division championship.
Scott, if you were the Browns, would you go quarterback, running back with the number one and number four pick and feel like you got it locked up long term? You think that's the way they should go?
I think that's the way, you know, no offense, I'm not saying it is what you're saying, that a fantasy player might look at it or an average fan. You know, how do they feel about Kaiser? Do they feel like with the right sort of seasoning that, you know, that he can be a good quarterback, and maybe instead they go an Alex Smith and do something different there? And, you know, maybe, you know, Saquon Barkley is an answer at a number four, but who is the best player overall, period, in the draft, period, regardless of position? That is the way that they might think.
And that's Micah Fitzpatrick. He's that guy that would be the best overall player in the draft. And I think that is the way that the Browns can go. Scott, I think you can give Kaiser another go at it, to be honest with you. I think what Hugh Jackson did to him, starting him, then benching him, then taking him out of games, I think he really rallied the kids' confidence a lot this year. But I think, you know, Kaiser was bad. I think he can improve. You can't just keep drafting quarterback year after year after year at the top of the draft. You're never going to get any better.
No, because you're taking a roll of the dice there with a rookie. Mm-hmm. You don't know how he's going to adjust to the pros. If you bring in a veteran like Alex Smith, you don't want to win a Super Bowl. That's not what you're thinking about. You want respectability. You'd like 7 wins, and Alex Smith can give you that.
They like one.
It's all about
they would like one.
They would like two, right? Yeah. Like, well, they got 1 in 2 years, but you know, my point is that you want to get to respectability first before you start thinking about playoffs or Super Bowl or whatever. People always look at the quarterback as the most important position on the field, and maybe it's the most pivotal, but you know, if they bring in an Alex Smith and then build other pieces around him, they don't have to draft the quarterback this year necessarily if they decide that they're going in a direction other than Kaiser.
I can't imagine how upset their fan base will be if they bring in Alex Smith to work with, like, to displace Kaiser. Or, because, I mean, Alex Smith is going to go there to, like, mentor people. Alex Smith is still going to, he's going to have a starting job somewhere, whether it's Buffalo
or Denver.
It could be there, true. I've seen
Maybe they bring in Tyrod Taylor.
It could be something like that.
Let those two compete.
It could be. I do think they're going to draft a QB, though. I do.
I think the smart thing would do is he trade a draft pick for Kirk Cousins.
Cousins, there's been a story about Cousins and the Browns. There was a story saying he would be open to it. So, I mean, that's not a terrible
solution. I would do it. If I would hear anything to be open to it, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I think Cousins is interesting. I think the Jets might be in on Cousins, too.
Are you sold? Are you sold that that would be a fix to the quarterback position for the Jets and for the team, Corey?
I mean, we know what Kirk Cousins is. Right now, at this point in Kirk Cousins' career, Kirk Cousins is a stat guy. He puts up good stats. He's a numbers guy. He puts up his quarterback who puts up big numbers. The knock against him is times people think that, you know what, Kirk Cousins is playing to be the stat monster to keep racking up these enormous one-year contracts. But when you look at what he's been able to do in between the lines, listen, he's a serviceable quarterback. Is he the face of a franchise? He can be for 5 or 6 years. So I think Kirk Cousins is a situation where you're not going to be that deficient at quarterback. Is he going to take you to the Super Bowl? More than likely not.
Yeah,
we have Case Keenum and Nick Foles and Blake Bortles on the verge of a Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins is better than all three.
He has better stats. He hasn't won anything.
I think he's a better quarterback. Period. You know, he's better than Bortles. He's better than Foles.
What has he won? What has he won?
Yeah, but look at the team around him. Football's a team game.
He had 3 chances at the end of last year to put that team in the playoff. He lost all 3 games to non-playoff teams. 2 of those games at home. He doesn't win. Keenum has won games. We've seen them win. Foles needed a win last week. He had a drive. He got a win. Kirk Cousins don't have that.
They carried him to a win. They won in spite of him.
Corey, from an NFL standpoint,
I'll give you Keenum.
If you were ranking these quarterbacks from an NFL standpoint, you would have Keenum over Cousins?
I put Keenum over Cousins as a guy that can get it done.
All right.
From an NFL standpoint.
Not over Foles or Bortles, though, I would.
No, I would.
You'd have him over Foles or Bortles, yeah. I would hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, yes, I do.
Okay. So I would say generally on this, for fantasy owners, similar to last year, we actually thought defense was going to totally dominate the draft last year, and I think you'll see a lot of that in the first round. However, we are projected to see 4 quarterbacks go in the first round, be Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. Depending on which mock draft you read, you'll see them all going all different places, and I think there's a lot of moving parts to happen, especially at the quarterback position, because it's Josh Allen and Mel Kiper's draft now, and it's Sam Darnold and Daniel Jeremiah's draft now. So those things will move and shake right up until late April, early May when the draft happens. As far as running back is concerned, Saquon Barkley from Penn State is the guy that in Dynasty drafts – is probably going to be the first guy off the board in every dynasty draft, no matter what
he'll
team
be a first rounder in. He'll be a first rounder in fantasy drafts too.
He could be. If he goes to Cleveland,
and
though,
redraft.
I would put the brakes on that if he goes to Cleveland.
I agree with you.
You know,
as Indianapolis Colt, as I'll take him on the turn in a redraft.
That could be. That could be. Yeah. I could see that. You know, we saw Zeke Elliott go in the first round, and that worked swimmingly for a lot of fantasy owners. Beyond that, you got Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver from Alabama. You got you know, a couple of other guys that could sneak in late in the first round. But as you look through the rest of the first round in a lot of these projections, Christian Kirk, a wide receiver from Texas A&M. He's small but quick wide receiver. Cortland Sutton, wide receiver from SMU. Guy caught a lot of passes. And Mark Andrews, tight end for Oklahoma. Those are some of the other names you're seeing from an offensive side of the ball. I do think some of that stuff will move around. The quarterbacks could be all over the place, and I don't know where Barkley's going to land. But you're starting to see with 90 days to go before the draft, you're starting to get a picture of what people might do. The Senior Bowl is coming up this week, and surprisingly, the Heisman winner Mayfield is going to be in it, as well as Allen. So a lot of the news you'll hear this week in practices will start to give a clearer picture of what coaches think of these guys. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show after this on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Closing out hour number three on the Roto Experts, Mike, Corey, and Scott. It's been a good show, lively show. Some argument back and forth, but it's all good in the hood. So we are just. Yeah, it happens. What are you going to do? I'm fired up about my team not playing this weekend. You know, they had a shot. Look, they had a shot to if they played a little bit better, a lot better, they'd be playing the Patriots with a shot to go to the Super Bowl. But it's frustrating because they got a bunch of Hall of Famers on offense and they can't get out of their own way defensively. The offense didn't do anything wrong last week. A couple turnovers, I guess you could say, but is what it is. So, look, I didn't want to talk about that. Anyway, Le'Veon Bell, will he play for the Steelers in 2018? That was our poll on FNTSY Radio. 53% say yes. 47% say no, though. And I think some of those people of that no are probably thinking he's just going to sit out. You know, it's not necessarily going to be elsewhere, but he's going to sit out. I think that's entirely possible. I wouldn't guess that's the way it's going to go, but it's possible. Eagles hosting the Vikings is 3-point underdogs. What's your call? 30% have the Eagles winning outright. 11% have the Eagles covering but losing. And 59% have the Vikings covering. So we got a majority there of people that think the Vikings are going to win by more than a field goal. And then the Pags host the Jags as 7.5-point favorites. What's your call? This one is really close. And I think as people continue to vote on it, it could remain tight. 36% of the people have the Pats covering, so that wins out. But 34% have the Jags covering and losing, and 30% have the Jags winning outright. Again, you have to say that number's probably skewed because people hate the Patriots, right, Scott?
Probably. You know, it's vogue to hate the Patriots. Everybody wants Jacksonville to win outside of Dot Avenue.
Yep. Have to agree. So, Corey, you agree with that? It's probably a little bit of Patriots hatership there with the Jags winning outright, getting 30% of it.
Yeah, that's people don't want to see New England back there. I'm one of those people that don't want to see New England back there, but I think they do end up getting back there, unfortunately. So, but I'll be rooting like hell for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I want to see them do it. I want to see them knock Tom Brady off. I want to see him leave the game with his hand injury. To be perfectly honest,
that's not nice.
Scott, I'm not here.
Corey does root for injuries, though. So.
What? How fun is it going to be for the NFL to spend 2 weeks promoting the Bortles, Foles, Super Bowl if that happens?
Oh, wow. That's going to be –
they listen, have to go Roger a different Goodell, angle.
Roger Goodell did this when he suspended Ezekiel Elliott, so there you go right there.
Okay. What does Ezekiel Elliott have to do with it?
Yeah, he's implying that had Ezekiel Elliott been in the mix, that somehow they would have found their way to the Super Bowl.
My aunt had a beard. She'd be my uncle. So yeah,
that's a nice way to clean that up. Nice way to clean that one up.
Crossing the line there.
So, we got the weekend fantasy update is coming up next. Scott's going to be on late. Corey's old school fantasy is going to be on later today from 6 to 8.
That's going
to
be fun. We talk auctions. Me and Matika talk auction strategy, so check that out if you're going to be
auction baseball
today.
Strategy.
That's
good. And then Scott's Hall of Fame hour.
Corey's like, Aaron Judge, $259.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious. I've seen a lot of Judge talk regarding fantasy baseball stuff on Twitter this week. And to keep everybody posted as to what we'll be talking about, we're going to continue to talk a lot of football.
Yes.
Until the season is over and afterwards. But we'll start infusing baseball, basketball, and a lot more stuff as 2018 rolls on.
We're rolling out.
On this week's edition. It's Weekend Fantasy Update next with Joe Galena, Frank Stample, and Mike Florio. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.